Okay, I want to talk about today a topic.
Chelsea.
Topic of Yemei Nisan. Everything I'm telling you is coming from the Sefer called Paradis Eliezer. Paradis Eliezer is a fantastic, it's a Hasidish Sefer. It's more like an encyclopedia. I believe he has close to 20 volumes on Moade Hashanah. On Nisun alone, he has 5 volumes. He published a beautiful recently an edition, a volume on the Bar Mitzvah. And he has like 10, 15 volumes on the Mo'adim. So on Pesach,
money?
What?
Does he make money?
Unlikely. Torah is not, Torah is the best Tzchara, but it doesn't bring in the most money. Okay, but he has here 2 volumes on Pesach, and in the past I used to spend a lot of time on these Sermon. Recently I've not really spent that much time, but I pulled out this volume and I see some new stuff. And He discusses the meaning of not fasting and not saying tachanun for the entire Chodesh Nisan. And that's a very, very big question. Why would we withhold? We would withhold from not eating, fasting, and saying tachanun, going to the Beis HaKvaros. That's questionable. Some do. If the Yortzeit, do you go to the Beis HaKvaros during Nisan? So some do, some don't. Even the Yortzeit, some hold that you should not go during Nisan. You should go before Nisan. Last week in Yeshu, did they make a kilmole on Shabbos Mincha? There was a lineup. Okay, it was a big lineup. That's the last. That was the last. So someone told me that by the Hasidim, it was already too late because it's already during the Shivas. The Maluf from Chav Gimel. They had to do it the week before. But okay, whatever the event is, but there is such a minute that we do not do a kelmole. We do not fast. It's a chodesh of simcha. And the question is, where does it say anywhere in the Torah that it's a chodesh of simcha? Where does this come to make a dantim of simcha? So he makes a very powerful point in this sefer, the Paradis Eliezer, I forgot his name, Eliezer Kestenbaum. Harav Eliezer Kestenbaum. And he makes a very powerful point, and I never really appreciated this. It's a minuk. It's nothing more than, it's not a halacha, it's a minuk. Not only is this a minuk, this is an amazing point he brings out, this is one of the oldest minhagim in history, on records. How do I know we know it's the oldest minhagim on record? Let's take a step back. All of our minhagim. Wearing a kittel at the seder. How old is that minuk? How old could it possibly be the minuk to wear a kittel? How old could it possibly be? What? Some still, some don't. Some never even started.
I don't.
Right, you don't. Even those who do. How old could that minhag possibly be? It can't possibly be more than 400 years old, if even that. Okay, how old, everything Hashanah Rabbah, everything that we do on Hashanah Rabbah, everything that we do on Simchas Torah, the whole day, Simchas Torah. Go try to trace minhagim. So you have the Maril. The Maril has minhagim. So a lot of some minhagim you can trace back for 1,000 years.
Hashanah Rabbah is the very first
minute. Okay, so you can trace back minhagim
from Ezra.
From Ezra? Okay, from Ezra, fine.
From Ezra, that's the very first
from Ezra. From Ezra, so that's it. Doesn't go back more than Ezra. Many minhagim go back not more than 700-800 years. You go back to the Maharil, you'll find a reference maybe in Rashi. You'll find a reference, maybe you'll find minhagim in the Goinim. I think about there's some from the Goinim who did minhagim.
You'll
struggle to find a remez in a Gemara from an Amora. Maybe you'll really stretch it. You'll find something in the Mishnah. You'll try to find a remez in the Mishnah. But minhagim, Jewish custom, if it's not a pasuk in the Torah, it's not a takana de rabban, it's a minhag, it does not go back very, very far. Okay, so whatever we had this
case.
A seib is around the halacha. That goes back to the Gemara. That's in the Gemara. That's a halacha. That's a halacha. That's not a minhag. That's a requirement. Afilu ani shabi yisrael, it's a shulchan aruch. It's mamash halacha. You're not even yoytze the mitzvah. According to many rishonim, question is, does the halacha change because times have changed? That's another topic. When do halachas change due to circumstances in halachic time? Or do you say the rule of you need a bezdin? Let's gadol b'minyan of a chachma to be mevatel. To the mevatel takana, even to mevatel halacha takana. What is exactly the same? But these are minhagim. So minhagim, you have to know. You have to be very careful when you're dealing with minhagim. But he says over here, the minhag really goes back to the time of the binyan of the Mishkan, and it comes. And this is mentioned in Masechta Seferim. And Masechta Seferim itself is of questionable origin. Masechta Seifrim is, it's not clear who wrote the Masechta Seifrim. It's never quoted in the Bavli. It's never quoted.
It's from the
Rabbanim Savaroi, or some say the Goinim. Some say even later. The Rabbanim Savaroi is earlier. Some say the Rabbanim Savaroi is really old. Some say it's even later. It was put together by the Goinim. And there's some of the Rishonim are very mafakfek on Masechta Seifrim. They have some very sharp words about the collection of halachas that are found there, to what degree of authenticity they really have. But this inyan of not fasting, Chodesh Nisan, is a mention in Masechta Seifrim. Now the truth is, besides Masechta Seifrim, it's really mentioned somewhere else. And that really does have a lot of weight. And that is in Megillas Tainis. And Megillas Tainis does have the status of a Mishnayis, of Tanoim. And that goes back to the time of the Bayis Sheni. That's going back during the time of the Bayis Sheni. Mm-hmm. And that's mamish the status of a Mishnah. And in Megillas Tainis, it's the first halacha in Megillas Tainis. Megillas Tainis, if you go to the new Masifta Gemaras, in the back of the new Masifta Gemaras, they have Masechta Megillas Tainis with a commentary, with Nekudos and a commentary and a Hagdama and a Sikum, beautiful, very, very, very powerful. And you go through word by word. I think it's the first section that Megillas Tainis says that the Chodesh Nisan, you don't fast. Because the Talmud was to reinstate. There are different things that happen in Chodesh Nisan, but in Megillas Tainis, it does not talk about the Nisim. It talks about various events, miracles that took place during Chodesh Nisan. A dream, Tainis Chaloim? Oh, that's the exception. That's an exception. A Tainis Chalom, you're allowed to fast Tainis Chalom during Chodesh Nisan. Yes. Even on Shabbos, you have Tainis Chalom, you can fast. That's a halacha. But there is, in the Segillas Tainis, there is a reason, there are the Chodesh Nisan, it says there one should not fast because various miracles happen during the time of the Bayis Sheni. That's what it says there. However, Megillas Tainis, according to all opinions, is batal. It's over. Every single day listed in Megillas Tainis that says a person is not allowed to fast does not apply Bisman Hazeh. Once the Beis Hamidush was destroyed, all of the rules, the days of Megillas Tainis are bottled simply because except for Chanukah, but those are the only two exceptions. Chanukah, but everything else. So why? So that would mean that during the entire Chodesh Nisan, we would be allowed to fast, and we should fast. There's no reason why we should not fast and be permitted to fast during Chodesh Nisan. So the earliest source why, even though Megillas Tainis' bottle comes from Megillah Masechta Seifrim, a little Masechta that appears in some Gemaras after Seder Nezakin, a collection of small Masechtas, which possibly were put together in different Maimar, were put together by the Goinim, which is much, much later than the time of the Tanoim and the Amoraim. And there it says you don't fast during Chodesh Nisan. You know why? Because of the Chanukas HaMishkan. The Mishkan was erected on the first day of Nisan. Moshe Rabbeinu put up for the last 7 days of Adar, the Mishkan for 7 days. Vayihi b'yom hashmini, on the eighth day of Moshe Rabbeinu putting up the Mishkan, he left it standing for good, and now all of the 12 Shvatim came forward, and they began to offer Korbanos. And therefore, since for 12 days the princes, they offered Korbanos, Memela, those first 12 days of the month are very special holy days of HaKamas HaMishkan. Therefore, to commemorate the erection of the Mishkan, we don't fast. Now, that's good for the first 12 days. Then day 13, which we're going to discuss in detail, is seemingly a very big mystery. Nothing happened on day 13. The 13th day of Nisan is a blank. And then day 14 is, you don't fast because it's Erev Pesach. You bring the carbon Pesach. When you bring a carbon, it's a Yom Tov. And then you have 7 days of Pesach. And that's it. And after Pesach is over, what is the 22nd day of Nisan? Is that when it's over, 27th day of Nisan? Business as usual. However, the Ramah says, once already Roiv, since already we have the first 12 days, and we have Erev Pesach, and we have 7 days of Pesach, so it became the custom already the entire Chodesh Roiv, we don't fast the entire Chodesh Nisan. But it's all based primarily on Megillas Masechta Sofrim, that the first you need to add to the equation to make the entire month not to fast, is at least the first 12 days, is the Nisim. Now that means, we're going back to something. Now here's the question. Here's the very big question. The question is, what about Megillas Tainis? Megillas Tainis, they did not know about the Mishkan. And once Megillas Tainis is bottled, why are we now taking the Sechta Seifrim to refer back to the Mishkan? So this is how Rav Paritz Eliezer explains, based upon various sources, something very fascinating. So he says that all of the miracles that happened in Megillas Tainis were drawn from the Shekhinah that was resting during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, even the Bayesheni. Bayesheni brought us the Kedusha. The Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash is what brought the miracles mentioned in Megillas Tainis. Once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, that Kedusha, those miracles are gone. So there's no need any longer to celebrate. The entire Megillas Tainis is all built upon the Kedusha of the Bayis Sheni. When there is no Bayis Sheni, the average person understands that the tzoros of Golus are so great, the Golus overrides the Kedusha of Megillas Tainis. That's not what it says. There is no Kedusha. There's nothing special about these days anymore, because these days only were special because they were drawn, they were being yoinek Kedusha from the Beis HaMikdash. Once there's no Beis HaMikdash, it dissipates. While there was the Beis HaMikdash, that Kedusha was present, was real, and therefore that became the primary reason why they did not fast during Chodesh Nisan. But once that goes away, we don't have that to fall back on, but we do fall back on the Hashroas Hashchinah of the Mishkan. This is the following point he makes. It's a very important point. Chazal are very clear. The Mishkan was not destroyed. The Mishkan was put in Geniza. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. The Bayis Rishon was destroyed. The Bayis Sheni was destroyed. But the Mishkan was not destroyed. L'may nafgamina. What is the purpose of the Mishkan? What is the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash? It represents Hashem is resting His divine presence upon Klal Yisrael. When Klal Yisrael built the Mishkan, Vehi Noyam, it says the Shekhinah, all the Midrashim, the Shekhinah came down and rested upon Klal Yisrael. When they put the Mishkan in Geniza, and they replaced it with the Beis HaMikdash, it does not mean that the Shekhinah that came down upon Klal Yisrael disappeared, and a new Shekhinah came, which paralleled the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash. The Kedusha that came with the Beis HaMikdash was in addition to the Shekhinah, the basic Shekhinah, that's resting upon Klal Yisrael from the Mishkan. It was when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, that additional Kedusha departed. The Kedusha of the Bayis Sheni, that Kedusha departed. But we're always left with the Hashroas Hashchina, some degree of it at least, that came upon Klal Yisrael from the time of the Mishkan, which never departed because the Mishkan was never destroyed. The Mishkan was Nignas. Therefore, when we today are commemorating the first 12 days of Nisan, we are commemorating an event, it's a minhag, that is traced back to the time of the Midbar. Every other minhag came out as a result of an event which happened in the last 1,000 years. As an embellishment to halacha, to a gzerah, to a takana, or a way to preserve some Jewish spirit. But this that we are celebrating, that these 12 days are days of simcha, because the Shekhinah has come down to rest upon Klal Yisrael, and that's all we got, because all the bonuses of the Kedusha of the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni have dissipated, have dissipated because they've been destroyed, but we always can fall back and to commemorate that we are Am Levada Nishkoin, we are a nation apart because Hashem has rested Shechin upon us. That comes from the time when they built the Mishkan, and the Pasuk says that on the last Pasuk in Parashas Pekudei, the cloud came down to rest upon the Mishkan. It's a tremendous simcha that the Shechin is resting upon Klal Yisrael, and therefore we celebrate this the first 12 days of the year. So again, it's unique that it's a minhag, it's the mother of all minhag, even before Ezra. We're going back to the time of the Hashuas HaShechina. It's an amazing point. The Hashanah Rabbah, the very Nevin that came at a later point in time, this we're going back to that time of the Beis Hamikdash. Now, there are many, many issues. First of all, the Nesiim only are celebrated the first 12 days. Why is the minhag not to say Tachlon on day 13? Now, let's not get into Roiv, because this idea of Roiv is a new thing. It's not Nikar Hadin. The first 12 days, indeed, is a very legitimate reason why we do not fast the first 12 days. The end of, after Pesach is over, it appears that not everyone accepted as a chumrah. There are many leniencies to fast after Pesach is over. And to give hespedim when Pesach is over, there are leniencies. What? To say tachna when Pesach is over. What? But the first 12 days is serious business. Because that's it's a real minhag, it's a real strong minhag, the first 12 days. But what about day 13? Why is day 13 in halacha treated with the same severity as the first 12 days? So he has over here a long list of fascinating reasons, almost every single one I never heard of before. And I want to share with them some of what's unique about the 13th day of Nisan. Number one, according to some Rishonim, day 13 is called Isru Chag. We only think Isru Chag is the day after Shavuos, the day after Pesach, and the day after Sukkot. No, the Nesiim brought Korbanos for 12 days straight. For 12 days straight means that the day after a festival is also an extension of the festival. So just like we don't say Tachnun Isru Chag after Pesach, you don't say Tachnun on day 13 because it's the Isru Chag, and actually some Rishonim use that term, the Isru Chag of the first 12 days. That's one time. Another time, we commemorate Shabbos. First 12 days of the month will always include with it a Shabbos. And therefore, to give kavod to Shabbos, we give one more day. And this does not mean to say they did not offer kavodas on Shabbos. The bringing of the kavodas of the Nesiim is indeed doicha Shabbos, no questions asked. But because we wanted Shabbos, it should be nikar, that Shabbos is also a special day. Shabbos should not be downgraded, overlooked during these 12 days. One more day was appended in order to give kavod to Shabbos. Another reason, now this is a very beautiful reason, is because it's not in the past, a day to look back in the past, it's a day of an anticipation for Eliyahu Hanavi. Hine Anoichi, it's the Haftarah for Shabbos HaGadol, Shaleach Lochem Eis, Eliyahu Hanavi, Lifnei Bo Yoim Hashem HaGadol V'Hanoira. There is a tradition, there are many that Mashiach will come on Pesach. The Mashiach will come on Yom on Tisha B'Av, on Pesach, Benisa Nigalu Anisa Asidim Lihigoyel. The Geula will come on Pesach. It's one of the piyutim and the Seder. Mehero Yibane. There is a tradition that on the first day Pesach was the Zman Gula Rishayna, it will be the Gula Rishayna. So Mashiach will come. But before Mashiach comes, Eliyahu Hanavi has to come. Hine Anochi, Shaleach Lochem Eis, Eliyahu Hanavi, Lifnei Bo Yom Hashem. Now, when will Eliyahu Hanavi come? Will he come on Erev Pesach? So the Ferish Gemara, Eliyahu Hanavi is not going to come Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Tov. Why? We're too busy. We're too busy, right? He's not coming. So if he cannot come on Pesach, and he cannot come on Pesach, because he has to come Lifnei B'Yayim Hashem, the day that he will come will be Yud Gimel. Yud Gimel. So Yud Gimel is a special day because this is the day of the Bia of Eliyahu Hanavi. It's a day Miyuchid to focus on Eliyahu Hanavi. Okay, it's another. Let's go to another reason. It's another fascinating reason. We know we have a tradition in the Medrash, and the Malachim came to Avraham Avinu on what day? When? On Pesach. And when the Malachim came to Avraham Avinu, it was Pesach, the Tesvav of Nisan. And Rashi says, when the Malachim came, Hashem took out the Chav min Artika in order not to busy Avraham with Malachim, because it was Yom Gimel Lemila Sai. Yom Gimel Lemila, and that's for an adult. For a child, it's only the Amal told me it's only after 2-3 hours the baby is already recovered, it's done, finished. But for an adult, the most difficult day is 3 days. And that means that if the Malach came to Avraham Avinu on Tesvav, that was day 3, so go back 3 days, 15, 14, 13, it's the day of Mila. The Mela Mila Yud Gimel Brisa, it's the day when Avraham Avinu entered into the Bris with Klal Yisrael and Yom Yud Gimel. That's a very special day. It's a very special day that we commemorate that day, the Mila of Avraham Avinu. Another, now to emphasize, that day, the day of Mila, it says in the past, in order to bring the Karban Pesach, you have to circumcise Kol B'nei Beisai. A person, before he's allowed to bring the Karban Pesach, must circumcise his slaves, Avodim Kenanim, and his children, any adopted children, any children, they must be. So when was the big day of Bris Mila in Klal Yisrael? Study. It wasn't there of Pesach, because Erev Pesach, it's too late. That's the day when everyone already is busy, Chatzais, everyone is busy bringing the Karban Pesach. So when do you do your last minute Bris Mila preparations? When do you do a check, a system check, that all of my children and my Avodim have a Bris Mila so we can get ready for Pesach? Yud Gimel. And it makes sense why Yud Gimel, because Yud Gimel was the anniversary when Avraham Avinu did it. So the Gans Klal Yisrael, you know, when there's a Mila, We have a Bris Mila in Shul. We have in the Shul of a Sandik. This person is the Sandik. Today, later in the day, they're making a Bris Mila is a Sandik. Say Tachnun? No. The Moel is there. Make sure if the Moel is there, they have a Bris Mila later on in the day. Do you say Tachnun? No. The Gans Klal Yisrael is Isaac in Bris Mila on Yud Gimel. Either to commemorate the Bris Mila of Avraham Avinu, or since you need to bring the Karban Pesach tomorrow, and a prerequisite for Karban Pesach is Bris Mila, the Mela, everyone is going to be Isaac in Bris Mila. Okay, another reason why we don't do it is because they brought the seam, they brought shlamim, part of the karbanis, and how many days are shlam eaten? For 2 days and a night in between. So this, the day 13 really is a continuation. The day of the nasi really is a 2 day event. So the last nasi brought the karban on day 12, it really continues into day 13 as well. Okay, another interesting top. What happens if Arab, and this is very kind, this is not so simple, this halacha, but that's what it's brought down. I think the Chassam Sofer says this. It's very big chiddush halacha. What happens if Arab Pesach is chaliyos b'Shabbos? Arab Pesach is chal, so when do you offer the Karban Pesach? On Arab, it's Doicha Shabbos. What about the Chagiga? Okay, there's a halacha that the Pesach is nechal al hasoiva. So before you eat the Karban Pesach, you have to first fill up your stomach with meat. What kind of meat? Basar kachim and chagiga. Now, many poskim say that when Erev Pesach shechal yos b'Shabbos, there was no chagiga. There's no chagiga because you can't bring a chagiga because you have to. So what's Doicha Shabbos? Only the Karban Pesach is Doicha Shabbos. The chagiga is not Doicha Shabbos. But that year, but the Chassam Sofer says no. When Erev Pesach was shechal yos b'Shabbos, they offered the chagiga on Yud Gimel. Shabbos is Yud Dalet. On Yud Gimel on Friday, they brought the Chagiga. The Chagiga meeting for 2 days and the night in between. The Chassam Sofer says not necessarily. It's 2 days, the night in between, and the next night until Chatzos. Or Lav Dafka until Chatzos. It can be eaten, let's say, it can be eaten even on Shabbos. You would fill up your stomach, Shalashuddha's time, to get your stomach filled, long Shalashuddha, so now my stomach is full. So from Lav Malka, the Karban Pesach will be the last Kazayas to fill up the stomach. So whoever told you that Chagiga is bottle, when Erev Shabbos is Chalios B'Pesach. This is a very simple solution. You bring the Chagiga on Yud Gimel, the Chagiga is a carbon shlamim, can be in for 2 days and a night in between. You eat on Yud Gimel and you eat on Yud Dalin. So on Yud Dalin you'll be eating your carbon Chagiga to fill up your stomach, and then Mitzvah Shabbos you'll be eating the Pesach, the last Kazayis to be Mashlim. So Yud Gimel was the Zman when the entire Klal Yisrael would be busy bringing a carbon Chagiga on the day when you bring a carbon is a yomtiv, and when it's a yomtiv, you're not allowed to fast. Okay, now here's another very interesting, there are two more interesting reasons, and this is a chassidish reason. This is a real, I don't know, chassidish reason, because it's not a chassid, but when is the yard site of the Beis Yosef, the Mechaber of Yosef Karoy, the one, the parish of Latour, the Kesef Mishnah, the one who, one of the greatest people in the history of Klal Yisrael, his influence is crept into our DNA. It's not, Klal Yisrael would not be Klal Yisrael without the Rav Yosef Karo. His yahrzeit is Yud Gimel. Yud Gimel. It is a very interesting observation that Yud Gimel Nisan is his Petira. And it's not something to be taken lightly from all the people who had the most influence on the makeup of Klal Yisrael. He's on the very, very top. Okay, you talk about Moshe Rabbeinu.
You could talk. I encountered the Beis Yosef as the last of the Rishonim.
Unbelievable. And when did he live? In the 17th century?
No.
16th century?
It was in the
15th. It's a 16th century. 16th century. 15th century. 16th century. And he calls him a Rishon.
He says, always the last of every Dor was the greatest of them. The greatest of the Rishonim was the Beis Yosef.
Okay, so he's 500 years after the Rishonim lived. 400 years. 300 years.
Into the late 1300s.
Century. Okay, fine, okay.
15th century.
Madame Ramberg was from the last Rishonim. And where did he live? He lived in the 13th century.
Right.
He lived in the 13th, whatever it is. Okay. Okay, but it's now another very, very fascinating reason is, when did Haman pen the letter to destroy Klal Yisrael? On the 13th day of Nisan. The first time God, Vayikaru Sefer Melech, B'Shlesha. On the 13th day of Chodesh Nisan is the day when now that turned out to be for us a very big benefit. Why? Because the rule was any letter, edict that was decreed by the king could not be rescinded. Achashverosh was not able to cancel the decree. The best he can do is to make another decree that, not overriding, that you can defend yourselves. To supplement, that's right. The Goyim can kill the Jews, but the Jews can fight back. So he do. And so that was Vina Hapichu. The Koyach of day 13 is a day that was Mahapicht because they were allowed to, they tried, that was to our advantage. We can defend ourselves, so we can take some, go on the offensive. That's the offensive, that's part of our defense. And we were able, 500 people were killed in Shushan, a few thousand people were killed out. So there was Mechiyas Samolik. There was a very great fulfillment of Mechiyas Samolik. It's a Yom Tov, it's a day that's Mesukul for Mechiyas Samolik on the 13th day of Nisan. So 13th day is a very, obviously has a very, has a lot going for it. It's one other thing I want to say about 13th day. He doesn't say this over here. Is, you know, we have a Shavuos. On Shavuos, there's the Shloisha Shimei Hagbala, and before the Shloisha Shimei Hagbala is what is Rosh Chodesh.
It's parallel in Nisan.
There's something called the Yom Hamiyuchas. What is the Hamiyuchas? It's Beis Sivan. So there's a lot of discussion. What is the significance of the Yom Hamiyuchas? And so some want to say is it has the Chashivas the Hamiyuchas. It's in between. It's really, there's nothing special about it.
No,
but a day.
Oh,
there are many mahalchim. There are probably 10 reasons. But the one that I'm trying to draw to connect to our purpose is one of the reasons why the Yom HaMiyuchas means it has its own yichus. Beis basically it has nothing. It's a euphemism. It has nothing. And when you have, but when you're surrounded by Kedusha, in a certain, in one sense, that's the greatest thing. If the day before is Rosh Chodesh, and the day after is the Shloish Yisimei HaGbalah, and you're sandwiched in between, what a view! What a life! What a place to be in! It's the Yom HaMiyuchas. So, to some degree, to the same degree, Yud Gimel Nisan is the Yom HaMiyuchas. It's surrounded by the 13 days, the 12 days of the Nisim, and the Erev Pesach, Klal Yisrael, the day we bring the Korban Pesach. It's the Yom HaMiyuchas that has Chashivas in its own right. Okay, there are other reasons of Yom, the 30 day are simply similar, like Bahala Yisrael. Another time reason is because of Aaron. Aaron, he lit the Neros on day 13, and in fact we discussed that some take out a Sefer Torah, it's not a common meaning, but some take out a Sefer Torah 13, so it's the day that's Miyuchid for Aaron. Then there's another shocking reason given, there's Machlekes in the Midrash, and we are all brainwashed with the Bavli that says that the first of the Nisim offered the carbon on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. But there appears from the Midrashim that there's a Yesh Cholkim, that the 12 Nisim began on the second day of Nisan. The first day was Moshe put up the Mishkan, he finished it, it was Rosh Chodesh, and the Nisim began on day 2. Now we don't read the partials in that Mahalach, but there is such a collection of Midrashim which hold this opinion. And the Melo, it really starts from day 2 and ends on day 13. Okay, so yeah, we probably I think we're going to do like close to at least 10 reasons.
Tomorrow.
What? Close to 10 reasons. Okay, well, one other thing I want to finish up. Yeah.
Before Karbon
Tara.
For Tara, that was the last day of Tara.
No, okay. One other thing I want to make is that there is a very big question. In the Nisim, you only should really celebrate the day that you're descendant.
You're Nasi.
So therefore, if you come from Shevet Yehuda, you Shevet Ruvain, you only celebrate the first day. You're only a relative, a descendant of one Shevet. So why is every single person not fasting for the entire 12 days? The only one day. Pick a day and then assume you've come from that day. So this is a very difficult question. So some want to say is you also have to take into consideration your mother. And you have to take into consideration all the generations back.
Yeah,
and every single person probably has blood from who knows, from all mixed marriages. You don't know. That's another time. Sveika diyoma. Sveika diyoma, since you taka don't know, or it comes from the mother's different, every single day is considered to be a saga. But that's a very only good for a Yisrael. But what about a Kohen and a Levi? A Kohen and a Levi, they know, they assume they're Kohen, so therefore Levi doesn't have a day. Levi is day 13. So you have to say the mother, or you have to say that it's their Beis HaMikdash. It's their Beis HaMikdash, so for them, every day is the Yom Tov. They're the ones who serve in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, have a wonderful day, Mitzvah. We'll see you tomorrow.